Gera can hit them. Did! Oh, what a goal by Zoltan Gera! And still Baptista, yes! It's Kabay! It's fantastic!
One from David Villa. Oh, great finish!
He's done just that, he scored! Juninho's done it!
Kubu making another glimpse of goal here!
Hello and welcome back to the Streets Won't Forget podcast. You join us this week for a very special episode as we delve into the world of true crime. I am your host, Ben, and for this episode, I found two of the finest minds Scotland Yard had to offer. But unfortunately, they couldn't make it, so joining me as always are Dan Mountney and Harry Martinez. How are we, boys?
Hey, Scotland Good, Yard. Can you imagine me and Dan in Scotland Yard, mate? That'd be horrendous.
Yeah, no, we're not solving a thing. Not a chance.
We'd be running it criminally within months.
Well, as mentioned, this is a special episode this week. The new one-off direction we're taking the podcast in. But before we get there, we have a couple of bits to cover for our introduction. So, Dan, I think you had something for us this week.
Yes. So, firstly, I would like to apologise to the listeners for no podcast last week. I was away on holiday, but it did give me the chance to do something that we've been discussing for the past few weeks. So, on the flight back, I watched Sunderland Till I Die, season
Ooh.
3.
Nice.
Have you got round to it yet, Harry? Because I know you said you were going to watch it. Okay.
No, I might do it today.
A quick assessment from what I saw. They start the season halfway through the season, it's like whatever season they're covering, the season suddenly get promoted. I don't know why. My conclusion was either Lee Johnson was the most boring man on earth and they got no footage for 6 months.
Possibly.
He didn't allow the cameras in, or they just couldn't be asked to do it. But it's a bit weird. My main takeaway is that Lyndon Gooch has possibly the funniest accent I've ever heard. He was born in California, but lived in Sunderland for 16 years. And it's a mix of the Macam and Californian accent. And it is genuinely horrific. It's like you can't understand half the things he's saying. And that was genuinely my main takeaway.
I cannot
Is it a case of, like when they did the Liverpool documentary a couple of years ago, where they had to put subtitles on Jamie Carragher, but not on Pepe Reina? Did they also have to put subtitles on Lyndon Gooch and not on any of the
I watch everything with subtitles on, so I cannot confirm whether that is the case.
Lyndon Gooch is a great name as well. Tremendous.
To be honest with you, I was surprised at the fact that I never knew he was American, considering his name.
I'm surprised you didn't know that, given the amount of Football Manager you've played.
Yeah.
When have I ever wanted to look at Lyndon Gooch as an option, mate?
Hey, we've all been struggling like that from time to time.
Never Lyndon Gooch level.
My other thing I'd say is there is like Alex Neil is also the most boring man on earth. That he says nothing interesting for three episodes.
We had him in Norwich, mate, and he honestly was. I can tell you that every word out of his mouth was the same tone.
Yeah, it just not interesting whatsoever. And I would say this: it's only three episodes as well, which I thought was a bit weird. I think the third series is nowhere near as good as the first two.
Shame.
Real shame. Yeah, disappointing.
Maybe because there's no failure, which is what Sunderland Until I Die is all about.
It was a character study in suffering, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
Did they cover their new American owner?
It's
like 26.
Do. Yeah, they do. He's also not very interesting, I'll be honest.
Oh, that's a shame. I really backed him being a character.
There's no point where he walks into a room and says, do you know what we need, lads? More EDM. Which,
he's
not going to live up to the standards.
I was really hoping he was going to be a character, to be honest with you, because an American football club owner at the age of 23, I think, when he took over, that just sounds like a recipe for disaster.
He goes about things in a slightly odd way. So when they kind of talk about in the documentary, when they sack Lee Johnson, people are assuming, well, they're third or fourth in the league. They must have somebody lined up, and then they don't appoint anybody for weeks, and they're all questioning the owner. But he's, you know, he's 23 years old. He's just trying to find his feet in that world. But isn't he mates with Ousmane Dembele, if I remember rightly, as well?
No sure way.
Yeah,
I think I saw that.
I'm pretty sure he's really good mates with Ousmane Dembele.
Oh, yeah, because Dembele was at the Sunderland game, wasn't he?
That was it. Was. Yeah. He's not much of an interesting character, but yeah, the first two series are definitely better.
Well, I look forward to discussing it on an episode of the podcast soon.
Absolutely.
Harry, I think you had something for us as well, and an Andy Carroll of the week.
So going back a couple of weeks, Willie, you gave us the who do we think is the most overrated striker of all time for question time.
Well, so,
I'm going to come back and say, who do you boys think is the most underrated striker of all time?
Ooh. That's a really good question.
It is. We're talking just the Premier League or all time?
Your choice, mate. Let's go with this generation, say from...
Well, we had an interesting discussion the other week.
We did.
About one that I wouldn't say is underrated, but then you think about it, and now he kind of is. Because we were talking about Fernando Torres.
Yeah, I don't think he's given the credit for how good he was.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be underrated. Like, we all know how good he is, but he's never talked about it. I think the Chelsea spell ruined it.
I think at his peak of his powers, like 2008 to 2012, I think during spells of those seasons, he was arguably in top three players of the world.
I'd maybe go Falcao.
Yeah.
See, my option was Diego Costa.
I don't like it. We talked about this before.
I think he's criminally underrated.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I think that like he had those 2 years at Chelsea where he was unbelievable. But you don't remember how good he was. He was just a shithouse, is all you remember. Yeah.
Good Atletico though as well.
Yeah. I think I'd go Falcao. Like his reputation in England was ruined by the loan spells at United and Chelsea.
United and Chelsea.
Yeah. Everywhere else he went, he was unbelievable.
I think that's also the thing with Torres is that spell at Chelsea, although he had some very good moments for it.
But actually, do you know what? I'd maybe go Samuel Eto'o. I don't think he gets the credit he deserves.
No, that's a good shout. Yeah.
But then again, do we just not remember him because his biggest spell wasn't in England?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, right. But even in that Barca team, he's surrounded with, you know, at the time it was Ronaldinho, and then Messi came in, and then he obviously had Ibrahimovic there when he left. So
and Henri was there, and yeah
that's what I mean. Like, you're talking about a team of superstars, he's going to get lost in it.
They're not necessarily underrated, they're underappreciated, I guess.
Yeah, because I still think Eto'o is probably one of the best strikers of all time. But
David Villa maybe as well, apart there.
He was a winger.
Yeah, Valencia days, he was a...
I think Torres is a good shout. I do think it's a good shout.
How does this relate to Andy Caz of the week, by the way?
No, that's separate. That was my question for you. But my Andy Caz of the week is going to the quote unquote golden generation of England for the message to Sven video they sent out.
God.
And I think someone to accept the award should be Paul Scholes for wishing a man with terminal cancer a speedy recovery.
Oh, it's just the most awful thing you've ever heard.
And somehow he's not the worst person who in that video because Michael Owen still exists.
I'm now glad we decided to take everything Paul Scholes had ever built in his footballing career away from him. He deserves nothing after that.
I'm glad that generation won fuck all. They don't deserve it.
Yeah, I think that's a worthy winner.
Oh, 100%. Well, boys, shall we get into the main topic of the episode?
Oh, go on then.
I'm quite excited for this because I've not told you what it is that we're doing, specifically at least. And as I'm hosting it, you know it's going to be something a bit different from normal.
Yes.
Well, this week, we're venturing into the world of true crime, as I mentioned, with a case that remains unsolved to this very day, sort of. Allow me to transport you back in time to the 1800s as we attempt to answer, who stole the FA Cup.
I was waiting for you to say, who was Jack the Ripper?
You said nothing too controversial, mate, so...
It was Paul Scholes. It was Paul Scholes, 100%.
At first, I thought we were going to have to dissect the photo evidence of Liverpool's, 1988 Halloween celebration night. I really thought we were going to have to hop into that.
Never again.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. The year is 1895. And the gamble by a fledgling FA has paid off massively. The Football Association Challenge Cup had cemented its place as the most prestigious and sought-after trophy in all of football. and the 24th final was held between Aston Villa and fierce rivals West Bromwich Albion. Classic. The All-Midlands affair proved to be an instant classic. A scrappy 1-0 with Bob Chat's deflected goal becoming the fastest ever scored in a cup final. A record which stood until Luis Saha's effort in 2009, would you believe? He scored after, I believe, 11 seconds.
That's mad.
Oh, dear.
Because you think Gundogan scored quicker, it last year.
Yeah, and then Gundogan scored after, what, a 6, I think it is?
No, Gundogan was like 30.
I thought Gundogan's was way quicker than that.
No, like you said, I think Luis Saha's is still the quickest.
He scored in 13 seconds. Saha was 25, Bob Chat was 30.
Wow.
30. Very quick for a cup final, though.
Yeah, it's mad. Yeah, it's gone after that.
Oh, 100%. Villa, who were first division champions at the time, secured victory and brought the trophy to Birmingham, where the celebrations began. After being filled with champagne and used for God knows what else, it was kept at the Villa Stadium for safekeeping, and with good reason. Because the cup, nicknamed the Little Tin Idol, had completely changed public opinion on the FA, moving it from a small gathering of southern posh boys to the national authority on all things football. A little history lesson for you, the cup was commissioned in 1871 for the fee of £20, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that is £1,900 in today's money.
Good God.
It was made from over 40 ounces of sterling silver and epitomised the glitz and the glamour of association football. The cup may have been made of silver, but the FA had struck gold.
Oh, nice.
Everyone wanted to get their hands on the idol, some more nefariously than others. And this...
Paul Scholes.
Introduce Paul Scholes, yeah.
I reckon behind it all is Louis van Gaal.
God, can you imagine?
I'm working in cahoots.
I'd love to see Louis van Gaal say the word cahoots as well.
Oh, can you imagine? I wanted to be holding a little glass of wine while he does it.
Cahoots.
Got Mike Smalling next to him.
And now for club vice-captain, Mike Cahoots.
Well, this is where we meet the first of our characters, William Shilcock, maker of kits and boots and a die-hard Villa fan. He requests to display the trophy in his store. And how could Villa refuse? It was his store that had supplied the boots for their cup-winning team. So his request was accepted, and in August 1895, the trophy was placed in his front window. 5 uneventful months pass of onlookers looking on with glee at Villa's new silverware. Until we reach the 12th of September, 1895. At 8 a.m, Mr. Shilcock arrives and unlocks his store to discover that the little tin idol has vanished.
I don't mean to cast aspersions over Birmingham, but I would not be displaying a trophy of such magnitude in a shop window.
Yeah.
Oh, honestly. I'm surprised it lasted 5 months.
Yeah. Like half of the crimes you see from 1800s and prior are just because people were stupid.
Look at all the stuff that happens in Peaky Blinders. Like, you're not sticking a trophy in a sodding window. Yeah, come on.
Tommy Shelby's responsible for this. You've given the game away here, mate.
Like, a shop in the 1800s was easy enough to rob anyway. You put the FA Cup in a window, it's definitely getting robbed.
I'm sorry, you just smash the window and take it. Like, it's
yeah, not, exactly.
Not the crime of the century, is it?
Now, huzzah! We're off with an idol!
Well, fear not, lads. For Birmingham's finest are dispatched immediately. Detectives Brown and Davis, City Police.
They arrive on scene. You made the names up.
I've absolutely not. This is brilliant. They arrive on the scene and begin piecing together a picture of what happened. They find a hole in the roof and a few tools. They find an open till and an empty plinth where the FA Cup should be sitting.
They had to get past the laser system.
Well,
they thought it was a chimney.
Came as a shock to the community. As I've said, the FA Cup was huge back then, and people couldn't understand how someone would steal something with so much sentimental value. The police knew counterfeiting gangs were operating in the area, so they assumed the cup was stolen for its silver. But some things didn't quite add up. Access to this part of the roof where they found the hole could only be gained by a 12-foot climb up a sheer exterior wall. The hole in the roof itself was only 12 inches wide, yet the wooden beams beneath the plaster had been kicked in with brute force. And while the cup and a few coins had been stolen, the very valuable sports equipment had been left completely untouched. They came to two conclusions. The culprits had to be young, and the theft was premeditated. A recovery effort was started. Shilcock himself offered a £10 reward for any information which led to an arrest. That's 1,600 quid in today's money.
Okay, fair enough.
It's nearly the same amount as the cup itself cost to make. Right. But no one ever claimed the reward. Villa bosses were forced to pay a huge £25 fine. And Birmingham police closed the case as there was no realistic possibility of a conviction. So football moved on, without its precious tin idol. The 1896 competition was termed the struggle for a cup not in existence. And ideas for a replacement were shot down. The FA wanted the new one to be made of gold, and a design valued at 250 quid was made, so £30,000 in modern money.
Fucking hell.
For reference, the current Champions League trophy is valued at £15,000. So we are talking a big money item.
Jesus.
However, and I love this, it was shot down by a Mr. R.P. Gregson of the Lancashire FA, who argued, I can only assume, over the most impressive moustache you've ever seen.
Yes.
That it should be as similar as possible to the original because, and I quote, what is crucial is not so much the value of the trophy as the honour of winning. Right, which I think is a sentiment we've kind of lost in the modern game. But
he's the one that robbed it.
Well, luckily, 100%. Wolves had made a silver replica of the trophy after their win in 1893. So the FA basically nicked this to use as a stand-in trophy until a new one was commissioned in 1911. So, football had moved on, the police had lost the trail, and the culprit had gotten away with it. That is, until 60 years later.
It was found under that guy's bed with the Jules Rimet, wasn't it?
He's nicked them all.
In February 1958, so we are zooming forward in time here.
Bloody hell.
A man by the name of Henry James Burge, known as Harry, made a confession to the Sunday Pictorial newspaper that back in 1895, he and two friends had stolen the FA Cup from a shop in Birmingham. The story exploded. I stole the cup, read the headlines, and the paper brought Harry back to the store so he could talk them through exactly how they did it. Harry, a teenager at the time, and his two friends broke into a shop next door and climbed up to the roof. They kicked their way into the shop and grabbed a cup along with a couple of pairs of football boots before bringing the cup to his nearby home and melting it down in an iron pot, taking the equivalent of £15 each in counterfeit silver coins, which, in a weird twist, they then spent in a nearby bar that was owned and frequented by former Villa players.
Nice.
No way.
Spending the FA Cup money in a bar owned by the team who won it.
No Fantastic. Way.
I have questions.
Please.
So you said the police had worked out the only way you could get in was by shimmying up that 12-foot wall. How did they not realise you could get in through the shop next door?
Well, we shall come I to told this, you, my mate. Friend.
It's the 1800s, everyone is stupid.
Also, I'm no expert on 1800s buildings and construction. How yep. weak is the building that you can just kick the floor in? Would you want to go up to the second floor knowing you can just kick it in?
Hey, I tell you who had their flu game during the 1800s. The big bad wolf, mate. That guy had a flu game.
Well, keep these questions in your mind because we might be coming back to them later. As for Burge, he was a career criminal, having been convicted 42 times, spending a whopping 47 years of his life behind bars.
Jesus.
Wow.
He was described as a chronic thief, which feels like a bit of an understatement.
It means you're yes. a kleptomaniac.
Yep. And even at age 80, around the time of the confession, he was charged again after taking three coats from a parked van.
I was going to say, no way was he giving the interview to the Sun and just nicked one of their coats or something.
So is
yes, so I nicked the FA Cup. Bugger, he stole my watch.
Yeah, yeah, his crimes have really taken a step down from the FA Cup to three coats from a Ford Transit van.
Yeah, at that point, are you sure it's not just down to Alzheimer's? Like, has he honestly just forgotten?
That maniac pensioner, I think he was described as in one article I saw.
Oh, nice.
So, as you might have guessed, the authorities did not have a hard time believing that Burge was responsible.
No.
But they chose not to press charges, as they felt there wasn't enough substantial evidence there. And despite being 80 at this point, he ended up back in prison for a different crime before passing away in 1964. Seemingly bringing an end to our story of who stole the cup. But would you believe, our story doesn't end there either.
Don't tell me, mate. He's like ISIS. He was claiming the thief of everything just for the popularity.
If you've been paying close attention, as we've already seen that Daniel has,
yes,
you may have noticed there are several key inconsistencies in Harry's story.
Yes.
That have led some to believe Burge may be innocent after all. At least of this particular crime. He was very guilty of the rest. So, gentlemen, if you could don your powdered wigs and take to the stand, I am opening the Streets Won't Forget court.
Yes.
The prosecution intends to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Harry Burge was not responsible and that the real culprit of the theft of the FA Cup remains at large.
Yes.
Well, my first piece of evidence, the method of entry. Burge's recounting of events had them break into the back door of an adjacent shop, going into great detail on his approach, demonstrating the tools used to open the door. He even poses for a picture in the paper. This, as we pointed out, contradicts the police's view that entry had been gained by scaling the outside wall of the building. Now, yes, it's possible the police made a mistake, but the differences continue when we arrive at the roof. Burge says they simply kicked the roof in above the front window. He makes no mention of the tools the police found above the hole. The roof tiles that were removed to create said hole were held in place with a mixture of lead and zinc putty. These had to be removed with a small trowel, which they found, in order to make the hole the thieves climbed through. This would not have been a quick process. They had to then break through the wooden planks and plaster underneath. Yet Burge makes no mention of this, despite the detail he goes into surrounding the rest of the break-in. On top of this, Burge claims they gained entry above the shop's front windows, while the police report from the time shows the hole was found at the back of the shop. They even found a set of steps inside the store used to climb back out of the hole, which were placed at the rear of the store. This feels like a glaring error in an account which supposedly weighs heavily on Burge's conscience.
Yeah, so he wouldn't have forgotten his details is what you're saying there.
And he's saying they broke in at the front of the shop when the police found everything at the back. Not conclusive yet, however. So we move on to item number two, the contents of the theft. Alongside the cup, Burge claims they made off with several pairs of brand new football boots. The police report lists the missing items as the cup, obviously, and the change from the till, which Burge omits, but understandably so, as it was a very small amount. But most damningly, there was absolutely no record of any sporting goods going missing from the store. This is something that immediately stood out to the police at the scene, because of how valuable the items were. And they were untouched. Naturally, the details of the police report were not made public at the time, and the police had the only copy, as it was handwritten in those days, so the only way the culprit would know what was taken is if they were there. They felt that this was a premeditated theft that targeted specifically the cup, which segues us quite nicely to the third and final item. The criminal himself. According to files from Burge's previous crimes, he might have been a career criminal, but he was an opportunist thief. He stole what was in front of him. Mostly things off the street, vans, for example. Occasionally expanding into shop or housebreaking when the opportunity presented itself. He was not, by any account I could find, a criminal mastermind who pre-planned heists. He had no connections to the forging gangs known to be operating in the area, and no personal history of forging coins. He claimed his accomplices were responsible for the forging, but their identities were unknown and went with Burge to the grave. So why did Parry, an opportunist who stole whatever was in front of him, ignore packed shelves of very expensive boots and shirts, which he could easily have fenced? There were three men there. They could easily have cleaned out the store, but suddenly chose to show restraint, despite never doing so again.
Well, according to him, though, he didn't. You see, that's the thing. That's the flaw, is he says, oh, I stole the boots, but he didn't.
True. And if you ask me, this type of robbery doesn't sound like Burge's style.
I've got a theory.
We will come to your theories, don't you worry, my friend.
Okay.
11 years after Burge's death, two people came forward, claiming to be the relatives of the unknown accomplices. They pointed the fingers at a grandfather by the name of Joseph Peacewright and a father-in-law by the name of John State. Both had long since passed away. And as all three men had now passed, there was no way to verify their claims. But some believe these two are the missing links in the FA Cup theft. We will never know for certain. We also see the same issue now the police did then. We have a complete lack of other viable suspects. However, as the prosecution, we do not believe he did it. He doesn't strike me as the remorseful type. Given he was still committing crimes after this confession, his story is full of irregularities and half details. And to be honest, what do three teenage boys know about counterfeiting coins? But that's not important. I don't buy his story, as he immediately goes to the paper with a confession, not any sort of family or authority. It smacks a little of searching for his 5 minutes of fame. But
that I would agree with.
This is not my decision to make, so I put it to you, our right honourable judges of the Streets Won't Forget Court.
All right. Let me hit you with my theory.
Go for it.
I believe Mr. Burge, as you rightfully say, was looking for his 5 minutes of fame. At that point in his life, he's probably looking for a quick and easy buck, and selling that story to the newspaper would probably have done that for him. My theory is that this is an inside job.
Ooh.
So, what was it, Mr. Shilcock, the owner of the shop?
William Shilcock, yep.
Same as me.
Right. My belief, and this is only a theory with very little evidence, is Mr. Shilcock has displayed the trophy and thought, this is a way to make a little bit of money, get a bit of interest in my shop. I believe he's gone and planted the evidence, so the hole in the roof. He would have known the building is weak enough to kick the floor in. He's done all of that stuff, and then he simply opened the front door, took the trophy, walked out.
Yeah.
And you were saying about the expensive football equipment. Why would the man who owns the shop steal his own expensive equipment when he can flog it in the shop himself?
Not only that, but how is he offering so much money for the return of the FA Cup? Only if he was to have the funds of selling the FA Cup.
This is the other thing. You see in a lot of cases where people who have committed the crime put themselves
put the reward
and center. And they appeal for information. They say, oh, this is my missing family member, blah, blah, blah. They have themselves committed the crime. I believe that's what Mr. Shilcock has done.
Mr. Shilcock's involvement goes slightly deeper.
Yes!
There are a couple of things that led me to think maybe he had a little accident with the trophy.
Oh.
The first was, while he'd supplied the equipment to the Aston Villa squad, the reason he was allowed to display the trophy was he had a very close personal friendship with one of the Aston Villa directors. And it was only under his authority that he was allowed to display the trophy in the first place. So any kind of incident involving his shop and the trophy would not look very good for this one particular director. Second of all, his shop was naturally insured, but the value far exceeded the value itself of the shop having been inflated by having the FA Cup present. So I think this goes one of two ways. I think he's either damaged, broken, perhaps, the FA Cup, and is so worried about the shame of this scandal breaking, ruining his reputation, that, as you say, he has faked a break-in to try and hide the evidence. Or is this whole thing one of the oldest tricks in the book? An insurance scam, trying to make a quick buck on a store he probably wanted to move out of anyway.
I think it's something along these lines, whether he's either nicked it for himself or, like you said, has done a bit of an insurance claim on it.
Yeah, I've got my suspicion.
We shall never know for certain.
It's and either such, him or it's the bloke you said about in Lancashire FA who stopped the gold trophy.
Well, you think it was Mr. R.P. Gregson of the Lancashire.
There's something dodgy about him, mate.
Inside,
I don't know. I trust him implicitly.
That's what he wants you to do, mate. That's how he's gotten away with it for so many years.
The final verdict of the streets when we get caught. Are we saying this case is resolved and that Mr. Burge was guilty? Or are we saying the case remains unsolved?
And the real case isn't unsolved because between Dan and I, we are right.
You did say okay. Scotland Yard's two best detectives, so
exactly, mate. Exactly.
Are you? I know who you two are. You're bloody Brown and Davis, Birmingham City Police.
Yeah, he's Kevin Davis.
There is something very funny about them going, "Well, he must have climbed up this 12-foot wall." And the other bloke just goes, "Or he went in through the shop, lads."
Yeah.
Did the police ever look into Mr. Shilcock being involved in any way? Do you know?
From the research I did, I couldn't find anything. There are a couple of caveats to that. Obviously, this happened in 1895.
Yes, so everyone's stupid.
And everything being on paper records, some things were probably lost. But also, who knows? There is that connection between Shilcock and the club. Maybe they kept it quiet.
I'll tell you what was lost was the FA Cup.
That's the real loser in all of this.
The magic of the cup is gone.
The magic of the cup. Yeah, it's gone. It's dead.
Do you reckon there's some sort of law up in the Midlands where the FA Cup brings you eternal youth, and the person who's nicked it is just forever living on?
Who knew the FA Cup was actually the Holy Grail?
That's the magic of the FA Cup, mate. Yeah.
Can you imagine being like, they actually, I think someone did steal it and melt it down for silver. But can you imagine going into like ye olde sweet shop and buying like three taffies with like silver coins made from the FA Cup? Kind of wild.
I know.
To answer your question about do we believe Mr. Burge is guilty or innocent, I believe he is innocent. I think he was just looking for a quick buck from the newspaper.
I think he's guilty of embarrassing himself.
That is the worst crime of the lot.
Yeah, I think he's committed so many crimes, but he's guilty of embarrassing himself.
That's very true. I think we'll never know who really stole it. I think, given the limitations on police work at the time, I think the real culprit disappeared.
So then he says he melted down the FA Cup in an iron pot.
Yes, he says they stole it and melted it.
He was the age of 14.
He was a teenager. We have no idea who his friends were.
Imagine if they're 14 too. If you walk into a house and there's three kids just melting something on the fucking stove.
It's Industrial Revolution Birmingham. Everybody's got a pot to melt things.
They're probably melting each other.
Imagine walking in being like, "Harry, lad, what are you doing with your mates?" And they've got the FA Cup lid halfway in the pot. They're like, "Nothing, Mum. Come back in a minute."
Yeah.
Is that the ye old FA Cup? No, ma'am.
No, this is the current one.
Ye old FA Cup. Hold on, lad. Is that cup you've got over there?
Well, in a second for this podcast, we have exposed yet another unbelievable story that football history has forgotten. After exposing Gabriel Jesus for playing too much Fortnite. But
I think one might be bigger than the other, but here we are.
I'm not sure we can entirely prove either, but that's just how we do things here. Do you want to finish things off, lads, with a little quiz?
Oh, go on then.
Is the quiz going to be who stole the Carabao Cup?
It's a list of all the trophies that have been stolen in history.
Start 11 of trophies that have been nicked.
I've got the Jules Rimet trophy for the FA Cup and I'm done.
Like Dan, I do try and theme my quizzes a little bit. So we're doing something related to the FA Cup. But I've tried to keep it simple. We are having an eliminator round. I want all of the teams who have won the FA Cup more than once.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
This is a limited list. If you somehow get to the end, both of you still in the game, we will have a sudden death tiebreaker. But as this is an eliminator, there are no lives. If you are wrong, you are out.
Okay.
More than once.
More than once. Harry, would you like to go first?
Man United.
Manchester United. Obviously a correct answer.
Thank you.
Arsenal.
Arsenal, the other one who kind of makes a lot of sense, having won it the most times ever, is a correct answer.
Chelsea.
Chelsea is a correct answer. We're going through this list in order so far. Chelsea have 8.
Liverpool.
Liverpool, the next team on the list, also with 8.
Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Wolverhampton Wanderers is a correct answer.
Not where I saw you going with that.
Neither do I. They have won it 4 times.
Manchester City.
Manchester City is a correct answer. They have won it 7 times.
Portsmouth.
Oh, Portsmouth. I had that in the back pocket, you bastard.
Just making it onto the list, Portsmouth have won twice.
I remember they'd won it before 2008.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh, Tottenham Hotspur also won it 8 times.
Yeah, Ozzy's on his way to Wembley's knees are gone all trembling.
Have we had Everton?
You have not had Everton.
I'll have
Everton is a correct answer. They've won it 5 times.
We said Villa.
You have not said Villa.
Can I have Villa, please?
You can indeed have Aston Villa. They've won it 7 times. It takes every fiber of my being not to go Aston Villa now.
Aston Villa. I will have the opponents from that famous final, Willie, where the FA Cup got nicked. I will have West Bromwich Albion.
West Bromwich Albion.
Please.
Our correct answer. They've won it 5 times.
Yeah, I want to see the boiler mascot with an FA Cup in his hands.
I know they've won one, but have they won it more than once?
We've kind of got all the big names out of the way now, bar one or two. So this is where it gets interesting.
West Ham.
West Ham United are a correct answer.
Oh, don't do that.
They've won it 3 times. The last coming in 1980, apparently, so not that long ago. They won it 1964-80. Not bad, lads.
Nice.
Here you are. I'm going to give you a bit of a classic, mate. Bit of a throwback. I'm going to have Wanderers.
Oh, the classic Wanderers.
Oh, he's going old school.
Yeah, the first team to win the FA Cup with, what's your name, Mr. Radcock.
Didn't they win it back first 2 years?
I think so. They are a correct answer. They've won it 5 times. They created the trophy, and then the guy in charge of the FA was the captain of their team. So, of course, they won it straight away. Love the FA Cup. Tremendous.
Magic of the Cup.
Magic of the Cup, that.
Here's a good little FA Cup fact for you. I bet you didn't know this. Hitchin, obviously where Ben and I live, actually played in the first ever FA Cup. And they
Did
still
they
play
really?
They still play at the same ground where they played their first ever FA
That's
Cup.
That's crazy. Oh, that is like mental.
Yeah. And casually doxing us on the internet there. You love to see it.
Oh, there we are. Yeah.
Find
hey, look at that little fat corner in the middle of a quiz. God,
you know what this is? It's because he hasn't got an answer, so he's trying to think of one in the meantime.
No, I do have an answer. I'm going to go for Preston North End.
Yeah,
Preston North End have won it twice. They are a correct answer.
I thought they'd won it a lot more than that. I will have Bury.
very now defunct, I suppose, but when they were a club, they did indeed win it twice.
Don't be on Football Manager when it Bury no longer exists.
Yeah, 1900 and 1903. Lots of recent success in Bury.
I believe, based off watching Sunderland Till I Die, Sunderland have won the FA Cup more than once.
I thought they'd only won it once.
Sunderland. So they won it in 1973.
Yeah.
But they also won it in 1937. Oh. It's a correct answer.
Oh.
I will have their rivals, please. Newcastle United.
Newcastle is a correct answer. They won it six times.
Yeah, they won it a lot.
Not since the 50s, though.
Yeah, that's crazy. Did Shearer ever win an FA Cup? He didn't, did he?
Well, seeing as they haven't won it since 55.
Yeah, but he was at Blackburn as well, wasn't he?
Oh, Blackburn's a great shout. Yeah, I'll go Blackburn.
Yeah, Blackburn's
the correct answer. They've also won it six times.
Oh, no.
I don't know how I know he didn't win it with Blackburn.
Oh, surely they've won it more than once.
The last won it in 1928.
I will have... Surely they've won it more than once. Oh, I don't know now. Oh, fuck it, we'll go with it. Nottingham Forest. Surely.
They won it twice.
Wow. Okay, I would have thought through their, you know, European success, they would have won a lot more FA Cups.
I'm just saying, it's pretty suspicious here. So they won it 98, just after the trophy goes missing. They win it again 59, just after the guy confesses. Something's not adding up there.
Well, that's all they need for another trophy, then, is get someone to admit they've robbed it and they're winning it next year.
It was Brian Clough. Good lad.
Good lad.
How many have we got left?
You have
loads.
Nah, I don't think there'll be loads. I think there'll be.
I believe one.
It won.
I think there's 15.
There's five left.
Okay.
Oh God.
I believe there were 20 in total.
You've got to think old school. Sheffield United.
Sheffield United. I won it four times. Are correct answer.
Jesus, balance. Okay.
I'm going to do the same again. I'll have the rival, Sheffield Wednesday.
Yep.
Sheffield Wednesday is a correct answer. They've won it thrice.
I've got a few more names. I thought there was loads more.
I'm going to go similar to Harry's Wanderers shout. I think there's another old team called Etonians.
Yeah, the old Etonians. That was on my card.
You don't get much older than the old Etonians. And it's a correct answer. They won it twice.
Which one is the one that's now Arsenal? It's not old Etonians, is it? Is it Royal Engineers was Arsenal?
No, I think Royal Engineers was something entirely different.
Yeah, I think they were their own. Because it was the one at Arsenal who...
There's another old... Oh, I can't remember the other one. I will have... Bolton? I reckon Bolton around that time.
Bolton Wanderers.
Oh, please.
Is a correct answer. They've won it four times.
You've just got to think old clubs from up north. They've definitely won it.
I don't know who to say here.
I believe, looking at my list, you've actually got them all, lads. Well done.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
My next one was going to be Huddersfield, but I guess that's wrong.
Huddersfield Town is, unsurprisingly, the correct answer. They've only won it once, 1922.
I was going to have Barnsley, so...
Oh, nicely done.
Yeah, very well done. You smashed that.
I thought I honestly thought there was loads more.
No?
Yeah, I was expecting to be here forever.
There's a lot of teams who have won it once. I mean, there's like old Carthusians, Blackburn
that's
Olympic.
That's who I'm thinking of, old Carthusians.
Queen's Park have not won it, but they've made a final.
What, as in the Scottish team?
Yeah.
I believe so. What? Yes.
They were in it 3 years, I think it was.
Mad. Didn't know that.
My tiebreaker question for you. There are three teams, not counting a defunct one I don't expect you to know the name of, who have made an FA Cup final but never won it. I need from you one of these teams.
Wait, say that
message
again.
Message it to me privately. There are three teams who have never made, who have made an FA Cup final but never won it.
But have never won it.
And have made more than one final, I should say, as well.
Oh, okay.
I want you to message me one of these three teams.
Oh, I know.
Remember, it's more than one final.
Oh, my word.
I'm so confident on that answer. I know that's right.
I reckon we could have gone for the same team here, Dan.
You have not gone for the same team.
Ooh.
Harry, you guessed Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Daniel, you guessed Watford.
And I think we're both right.
The three teams I would accept as answers are Birmingham City, Crystal Palace, and Watford.
Oh, nice.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Okay, so you can have one more tiebreaker round.
Yeah.
The closest to the answer wins. What year did the Royal Engineers win the FA Cup?
Oh, Jesus Christ. The Royal Engineers. Right,
well, first one was... Oh, I'll have to go for a guess around there.
Okay, you're talking about their first one, mate. They only won one.
No, so... I'm thinking when the first FA Cup was.
Of course.
I'll go around there.
We're going to have a guess.
So you both guessed the same answer.
Fuck off.
1878. Royal Engineers, rather academically, put it in 1875.
Brilliant.
Should we take this as a draw?
I think you can have this as a draw, lads. Well done.
Well played, Daniel.
Neither of you gets a trophy because someone's nicked it.
Have a guess who won it in 78.
That is wonderful FA Cup knowledge.
Go on, Dan. Have a guess who won it in 78.
Wanderers.
You're going to pick a team that within the 6 years of it existing, they won it 5 times.
Is yep.
It Wanderers? Let's have a look. Was it Wanderers, Willie? Have you seen it?
Wanderers. Interestingly, do you know who won it the year before Royal Engineers?
It's going to be like Oxford University, isn't it?
Old Etonians.
Because it is Oxford University.
Oh, okay.
Well, that is the end of this week's episode. Let us know who you think stole the cup. Was it Burge? Is the culprit yet to be named? And just maybe, is it worth double-checking those old silver coins your grandfather gave you all those years ago?
It was Paul Scholes.
It was Paul Scallop.
Well, boys, thank you for joining me.
Pleasure, as always.
Have a good week, mate.
Have a good week. We'll be back next Thursday, but in the meantime, follow our socials. You'll find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Give us a 5-star rating if you haven't already, as it really helps us out. And thank you for listening.
Cheerio, old chap.
Smashing.
Gera can hit them. Did! Oh, what a goal by Zoltan Gera! And still Baptista, yes! It's Kabay! It's fantastic! One front, David Villa! Oh, great finish! He's done just that, he scored! Janinho's done it! Nkubu making another glimpse of goal here!